Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let us pray together. Lord our God, these words nourish our souls. These words and chart out the week before us. Maybe these words can lead us home. But Lord our God, you teach us. You lead us in these hours, in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, with the fall upon us, we've got to make sure that we keep our eyes on the calendars, don't we? And all the things that we have to do now suddenly has gotten busy. I have my own calendar. We have a family calendar. I think Colleen has her calendar too. Every now and then we have to sit down. What do we call that when we sit down together? Let's do calendar. That's what we say. Let's do calendar. And so we look at all of the events that are ahead of us. And this is a busy week for us here in the church too. A yard sale. We have an outreach committee meeting, a finance committee meeting. And there's one of those days that really sticks in the craw for me. I don't know if it does about you, but when you start to plan a meeting for 9/11, that just has a ring to it, doesn't it?
Yes.
When you just say those words, 9/11, and even as I was planning and even as I was trying to communicate and invite people to a meeting on 9/11, it just sticks. What a day that was. And this Tuesday will be the 17th anniversary of that day that I know you will not forget and I won't forget as well. A day in which we found ourselves at war, and a new kind of war that we had never seen before. There were no ships that were landing on Normandy Beach or our beaches. There were no fighters in uniforms. This was a different kind of a war, and it demanded a different kind of a peace, the kind of peace that we're still looking for as well. So when the Bible talks about peace, and it does a lot, what does it mean? What does it mean to find peace and the peace of God? Like I said, there are so many verses that we could be studying this morning. There's not anyone more beautiful than this one, I think, in that seventh verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, whose name is the Prince of Peace, right? So let's look at this verse together. Some of you might say, Pastor, you might want to give up. Well, giving up is good because it says there, it transcends all understanding. How can you make plain, how can you preach on, how can you help us understand what is said and stated there in the Word of God? It transcends all understanding. Well, I'm a preacher. I've got a few things I can say, okay? And they're in your bulletin there. So we'll look at these three things. I think if you want to put yourself in the way of peace, you've got to respect the limits. You have to regroup in God's presence, and you have to revel in God. Those three things. Okay? Good preacher form now. Start with R. Could be any letter of the alphabet. Respect, regroup, and revel. Respect the limits. Very recently, I think it was only maybe last week, Colleen and I visited a castle right here in Lincoln County. We visited a castle. We've been talking some about Maine trivia, the largest lakes in Maine, where the 100-mile wilderness is. So where is this castle in Lincoln County?
Wisconsin.
Yes. The name of this castle is? Castle Tucker. So we had seen signs for it. We thought we would go there. And it gets its name because it kind of looks like a castle. It's a big, huge house, uniquely shaped, perched up on a hill overlooking the Sheepskin River there. And we took the tour of the Castle Tucker. For some reason, I've got castles on the brain this week. You'll see a picture of one there on the front cover. Some of you, if you're visual learners, that might encourage you. It might be something that you could put up on your refrigerator there. Because this verse says, and I printed it there for you, okay? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So as we're looking at peace, as we're studying peace together, what does it mean and why did Paul choose that word, guard? That God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think it's because God has built a fortress for us. He has surrounded us. He wants to protect us. He has said, this is my world, people. I'm going to set you in it. If you live in my ways, if you live in my world and respect my limits, you will have peace. If you step outside of those limits, you're not going to have peace. Period. End of story. So many people look at, you know, the do's and don'ts that we get so hung up on, though they are important, that they think that that's what God is all about. God is really just saying, I've made the world, I made the limits. If you live within those, if you respect those, you will have peace. The thing is, from the very earliest days, we've decided not to do that. That's the whole point of the first three chapters of Genesis. In chapters 1 and so on, God is saying, these are the limits. This is how you will live. Chapters 2 and 3, Adam and Eve say, yeah, no. I think we'll do it our way. And everything falls apart after that. You have to respect those limits. God has His castle for you. Respect those walls. Respect that moat that He has placed around you. And I think that you will have peace. But we just don't do that. We feel like we know better. God promises to guard us, and yet we race ahead of Him. So respect those limits, and you will put yourself in the path of peace. I think verse 8 outlines some of those for us. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is, boom, 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 and then he lists them. True, noble, we should know about that here in Nobleboro, right?
Yeah.
Right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, stay within those limits. Sink your mind into those things. Colleen and I were doing some channel surfing last night. We found a new TV show that we thought we might like, and we were with it for maybe 2 minutes, and we just said, no, this is not. I mean, we didn't really say it in these terms, but it's just, it's not going to edify us. It's not going to build us up. It's not going to help. It just, no, we went on to something else. These are the limits. This is what God has built into the world. And look, it's all beautiful stuff. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Those are the limits. And you will have peace. God will guard you if you will stay in His world and live life His way. Secondly, regroup to God's presence. It might be an odd word for me to use. I thought about using the word return. But I kind of wanted a word that would just encourage you to keep coming back, because it seems like that's what Paul is saying here. He wants us to return, to regroup, to keep coming back to God. And he's inviting us to do that in verse 6, which is probably the toughest verse of the whole passage. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Make a presentation. Bring that PowerPoint. Bring your documents, your budgets, whatever. Now, bring your prayers, your petitions, and your supplications, your thanksgiving, and come into God's presence. So keep coming back. Paul just invites you to do that. And it's almost like he's falling over himself and trying to show you and to tell you what it is that is acceptable and you can bring into his presence. Just about anything. Your prayers. your petitions, your thanksgivings. Don't always just be fussing with God, you know, God do this, God do that, but thank God as well. That element of thanksgiving is so vital to a life of peace. Paul says, present your requests to God. Some of you might be getting a little bit bored. That might be a good thing. Because this is all through Scripture. It's not just here. The God just says this over and over again. It's one of the most striking things about our faith is that God just says, come, let's talk about this. Let's talk, and you talk to me, and I'll talk to you. Jesus said it in the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed. Give us this day our daily bread. Nothing more basic than that. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Our passage for next Sunday is about how God promises to bless us and things. We'll be looking at Matthew 18:19 that says, wherever two or more of you are gathered in thy name, ask and it will be done. Just over and over, God says, let's talk. Paul has another little statement there that I hope will encourage you as well. Hopefully it will even shock you as well. At the very beginning, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Next verse, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. We probably read this verse so many times that we overlooked that part, but that is one of the most shocking things in all of these verses, in this whole statement, that the Lord is near? No. In any way in which we describe it so often in the culture at large, we are taught and trained that God is somebody you've got to struggle to get to. God is playing hide and seek. God is far away, and you've got to do special spiritual push-ups to get to Him and so on. Just as a real cheesy kind of an example, but it kind of shows the way the human mind works. You ever seen The Wizard of Oz? You know, and there's the Wizard of Oz, and he's in a big castle, right, in Oz, and Dorothy and all of them go up and knock on the door, and there's this long hallway that they go and they walk up. There are these solemn guards here and there, and then they get into the throne room, and there's the great Oz, but where is he really? I mean, this is kind of, it's a silly sort of an example, but this is really the way we look at God so often, that he's far away, that we have to go on this long journey to get to him. And yet Paul says, the Lord is near. He is not far away. I guess Christmas is around the corner, right? Because it's getting cold out there. And one of Jesus' names beside the Prince of Peace is Emmanuel, right? Which means what? God with us. So to have peace, what you need to do is regroup in His presence. Come back to God and just make it known to Him what it is that you want and what you are looking for. You need to talk to God. And I hope that you have somebody in your life like this that maybe mirrors God to you, somebody that you can get on the phone, somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can speak with, and just the sound of their voice calms you down. The sound of their voice returns you to a little bit of sanity, and that's what God is saying here too. Come. Come into my presence, and I will give you peace. Let me hear what it is that's on your heart, my child. So you respect God's limits, you regroup in His presence, and last of all, and I sometimes do this, saving the best for the last, revel in God. Revel in God. Some bad news this week out of North Carolina and the Billy Graham family. I don't know if you saw that on the news or not, but Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, is ill. She's 70 years old. A Christian minister in her own right. She speaks around the country. She has Christian ministry and is a great and admirable person. Even her father, Billy Graham, admired her. He said that Anne is the best preacher in the family. Can you imagine that? The best preacher in the world saying of his own daughter, you're the best preacher in the family. She announced this week that she has breast cancer and will be going to surgery this month. In her statement, which was on the news, she said this, and I printed it on the back of your bulletin because it just blew me away. "So I am left to worship. And totally trust our God, who is ultimately in control of everything." Wow. Now, the vast majority of that sentence is very common. You probably had some Christian person say that to you. Trusting God. God is in control. He's in control of everything. It's those first few words that just blew me away. "So I am left to worship." People, that's it. Boom. This is your calling. This is why you were put in the garden. This is why you live your life. To stand up in this world and say to the rest of this world, there is yet a God who is in control. There is yet a Lord of the universe. He is king and he rules. That's what Jesus came for. He didn't come to start a new religion. He came to remind the rest of the world there is yet a God who is on his throne. And so we rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Paul falling all over himself again. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. I don't know where it came about that we find worship to be a boring Sunday duty. It is the very breath that you breathe. It is your highest calling. You don't come in here and sit in a pew and expect the person next to you to be the worshiper or expect the pastor up front to do it for you. You come here to hear yet again that God is in control. That God is in that God is in control. That he yet reigns. There is a king upon the throne. "I am left to worship," says Anne. God bless her in her battle. God bless you in your battles as well. I think that, and obviously God bless me, so I would appreciate your prayers as well. There's a lot going on in our family and in our lives, and a bit overwhelmed right now. I think Paul is giving us some clues here of ways in which we can worship. I don't want you to look at that eighth verse there as a list of do's and don'ts. Okay, it's more than that. It's your framework for the week ahead. If there are things that are true, if there are things that are noble, sink that into your life, sink that into your mind. And I want to just call out one of them because it's the one that I really like. Whatever is lovely. What? Puppies? Maybe. Kitty cats? Yeah. I mean, it's what it says, whatever is lovely. God has made these things. It's easy for us to sink ourselves into what is lovely because we live in the state of Maine, for crying out loud. We're drenched in loveliness. Don't be so busy that you can't just see what's going on in the world around you. Yeah, whatever is true, whatever is noble, and turn this into worship. He says they're praiseworthy, doesn't he? Yeah. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. He's calling you back to the Garden of Eden. He's calling you back to the original purpose for you, and that is to be with him and to walk with him in that garden and to declare now to the rest of the broken world, there is a God who yet reigns. So we've got 9/11 coming this week. Let's have some worship come too, okay? Will you do that this week in worship? One of the things I will never forget about 9/11, and I'm sure you all have your stories too, is how astoundingly quiet it was. It's quiet here in Nobleboro, but at the time, Colleen and I were living in Philly, and as you may remember, the government shut down the airspace for like 3 days, I think it was. There were no planes leaving any airport. And in Philly, there are always planes in the sky. I mean, you live underneath these flight patterns and just one right after the other. It was dead quiet. Let's not be quiet this week, okay? Let's lift up some praise. Let's return to God and present to Him our requests. It's kind of a rowdy passage here, okay? And I think as we do this, as we respect the limits God has set up for us, as we regroup in His presence, as we rejoice and revel in Him, make a little bit of noise, and we'll have peace. Like a river glorious deep down in our souls. Another one of my favorite hymns. Can we close with this? Do me a blessing and sing out loud. 451 in your blue hymnals. Like a river glorious.